Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. China will pour billions of yuan into farmland in Ukraine that will eventually become its biggest overseas agricultural project. Under the 50-year plan, Ukraine will initially provide China with at least 1,000 hectares of high-quality farmland, mainly for growing crops and raising pigs. The project will eventually expand to 3 million hectares. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NAS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending September 22nd. The numbers look like this. Corn rated mature 40% versus 22% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 55%. Harvested 7% versus 4% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 16%. Soybeans dropping leaves 47% versus 26% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 56%. Soybeans harvested 3% versus the five-year rolling average of 9%. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 180,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Colombia during the 2013-14 marketing year, which began on September 1st. Also, Taiwan Flour Millers Association has purchased two cargoes of U.S. wheat, totaling 92,350 metric tons for shipment in November and December. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 15,321. It's down 5 points. The NASDAQ 3217 is up 8. The S&P 500 is 1692. It is down 0.75 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Good to excellent harvest conditions will occur across portions of the Midwest over the balance of this work week, but we are expecting a cool front to cut through the region as we get into the Friday through Sunday period, and that will set back some field progress. But this particular frontal system is not going to produce rain for more than a few hours in any location, and most of the precipitation will be light and brief enough that field work will only be disrupted for a very short period of time. With the moisture will be welcome for some of the wheat planting that's underway, but across the Midwest, a lot of that wheat planting will occur after some harvest takes place. So it'll be not necessarily a big issue for wheat planting at this point in time. We do expect, though, to see temperatures staying warmer biased over this next week, and that means the temperatures will stay in a position where we will evaporate moisture out of the soil more quickly than we put it in. And net drying conditions will occur, and this will be really an ideal environment for speeding along crop maturation and helping to assure that harvest delays are only very brief across the region. The daily highs will likely work their way back into summer-like readings. We'll start off here today with readings in the 60s across the Great Lakes region and 70s in most other areas. Might be an 80-degree reading or two in the lowermost Ohio River Valley. As we move into the day tomorrow, we'll look for afternoon temperatures again about the same as today. But when we get into Thursday and Friday, we'll see a lot of 80-degree temperatures evolving from Iowa to Ohio and southward, and we may see some temperatures getting into the middle 80s in some of the southernmost parts of the Midwest. Cooler air will come with that cool front that's going to be moving through the Midwest from west to east as we go from Friday into Sunday. The cooler air will bring in afternoon highs on Saturday to the 60s across Nebraska, northward into the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota, while 70s and lower 80s will still continue across the eastern and lower parts of the Midwest. On Sunday afternoon, everybody will be back into the 60s and 70s, and we'll likely see that prevailing on into Monday. Our low temperatures at night will certainly be non-threatening over this next 5 to 7 days. No temperatures in the frost or freeze threshold are expected except maybe in parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota as we get into the heart of the weekend. The models today are not necessarily jumping on this, but it looks to me like once that frontal system moves through the upper parts of the Midwest, we will see temperatures return to the same range that they were in during this past weekend. We may see some soft frost occurring across portions of the Dakotas and maybe a part of Minnesota during the weekend itself. Outside of this issue, next week's weather looks like it will start off in a warming trend and then turn cooler again. Some of the longer-range forecast model data suggests that temperatures could get rather nippy towards the latter part of next week, so we're not turning our backs on that prospect that we could see more frost and freeze conditions a little later in the week next week, but that is not necessarily in the official forecast at this point. We're just continuing to monitor the situation. As that colder air comes in later next week, we'll probably see at least one more frontal system come through the region. It may generate some shower and thunderstorm activity. And again, today the models are not necessarily focusing on that issue, but I do think there will be more precipitation. It should be brief, though, just like this weekend's event, and we will probably still be able to see field work advance fairly well, both before and after that frontal system moves through the region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat is 696 and three quarters down one. Soft December wheat is 651 and three quarters down one and three quarters. December corn, 452 and three quarters, down a half. July, 480 down three quarters. November soybeans, 1316 and a half, up eight and three quarters. July, 1274 and a quarter, up six and three quarters. October soybean meal, 416 up 490. October soybean oil, 4182 down 15. October live cattle, 126.67 and a half, up seven and a half. September feeders, 157.67 and a half, up 5. October lean hogs, 91.20, up 102 and one half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, there's no real rhyme for it, I suppose, but soybeans have a little bit of a turnaround Tuesday going.
Yep, they do. A little turnaround Tuesday, a little bounce after being down, you know, what we've been down in the last couple of weeks. And corn just kind of hanging around, up a hair, down a hair. We tried bouncing there, but it couldn't go far. And I think you're going to have trouble here from now until mid to three quarters way into the real harvest to get anything to bounce very far. I think bounces will be sold, and then they'll buy them back somewhere midway to late harvest.
Well, we're a long way from into the glut of harvest yet. If you looked at USDA's state-by-state report, Illinois, 5% harvested in corn. Indiana is, Illinois, yeah, 5%. Indiana is 6%. Iowa, 3%. We got a long way to go.
Yeah, we're a month behind here. We aren't going to have much of anything happen until after October 1 here. We'll have a few beans maybe late this week or next week, but corn is still just, why harvest corn at 30% when it's looking good, when you can wait a week and hopefully get it to low 20s or even the teens?
So the next shoe to drop will be the report at the end of the month, the quarterly grain stock report. But if you look at the average guesses for that report, and they came out today, well, actually yesterday, Bloomberg put their set of guesses out. With corn at 694 million bushels, soybeans 127 million. There's nothing there in the move of the market because that's sort of where we are anyway.
That's where we are on the old crop and new crop. Nobody really knows. There's still industry still looking at 1.6 billion to 2 billion carry out on corn, and they're looking anywhere from 200 to 380 on beans. If yields go up, as some people think they will. And I don't know that that necessarily will happen. As you move north and west, yields might not be quite as good as they've been where harvest has occurred.
So do you think that when it's all said and done, will the national soybean average be on the plus side or the minus side of 40 bushels to the acre?
I think that 40 is probably going to catch it. So I would, the later beans, nobody knows yet, and the bean numbers and all the stuff in them. Look at the corn on what it's doing. Will the beans do the same thing? I don't know. I've got guys with late beans saying they'll make half what the early beans did, but nobody really knows that until the combine goes.
So the question then becomes, what will it take for soybeans to rally back up to 1410? Is it going to take something in South America for that to happen?
Well, South America is going to grow supposedly another 10% more. They're already growing more than the U.S. now, and their prices that they're shipping are way below ours, both in corn and beans. So problems in South America could help. And then yields here, if they would come in the later beans less and less and be under 40, that could jolt them a little bit and push them back towards the 14. But worldwide, we're above everybody else price-wise. Why do they need to come here to buy unless they have a problem either getting it shipped or with quality?
Thank you, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, December corn, 452.5 down 3/4. July, 480 down 3/4. November soybeans, 1315.5 up 7 3/4. July, 1273 up 5.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.